Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Dance Chat with Coach Mickey. And today we are going to be doing a tip podcast. That's right, today we are going to be talking about how to avoid becoming a dance momster. You know, you have them in your studios. Sometimes you don't realize that maybe it could be you that could become the next dance momster. So how do you avoid becoming one? Well, stick around right after these messages. I'll give you the top 5 tips I have on how you can avoid becoming one yourself. All right, guys, welcome back to episode number 5. I like to call this one, How to Avoid Becoming a Dance Momster. That's right. Today is a tips podcast. So I'm going to be talking to you about my top 5 tips on how you can avoid becoming that crazy, irritable, nobody wants in their dance studio momster. So let's start with number 5. Here is my biggest pet peeve as a dance studio owner and coach. I call it pay to play. Now, a lot of you guys are really good as dance parents about paying your dues and staying on top of your financial requirements that are, you know, needed for your dance studio, but there is always one or two that tends to think we're running a free service. I don't know why, but they always have buckets of excuses and all kinds of drama issues as to why they cannot pay what they need to pay. And it's always late. It always is the same people over and over again. You do not want to be that parent that teacher goes, oh yeah, we're going to have to wait on getting our costumes paid. We're going to have to wait on doing our entry fees on time because this parent never pays on time. And it's very frustrating. So quit doing that disservice to yourself. Quit making your child look like the bum of the studio and just pay when you're supposed to. And, you know, don't overestimate what you can afford to do. So really research where you're picking at when you go to these different dance studios and figure out, is this financially worth it for us in our budget for them to be able to participate in this kind of expensive sport? So again, really figure it out. Do you really want them in 7 routines next, you know, year? Is it really going to be cost effective for you to have them do that extra solo or two when you have all those extra choreography fees on top of everything else that you're wanting to do? And maybe you need to really rethink and evaluate what it is that your kids participate in. We have one dance mom that has actually pulled her child back from participating in competition team this year because they have chosen to participate in more sports. And they understand that the fees just are not feasible for them to do both their sports activities and doing the dance competition world. Now, they're still staying at the studio, which is great because this kid has a lot of talent, but they're letting the child make that decision. And they're also understanding, yes, it sucks. They've cried to us many times. They're really upset that they can't continue to afford to be able to do this, but they're not putting themselves in jeopardy and making themselves become the bums or the dense momster who cannot pay to play. So that's my number 5 tip there. Now, number 4 is winning isn't everything. Now, this more than likely a lot of people would say would be number 1, but I'm going to put this as number 4. And we like to call these particular momsters the hoppers. Don't be a momster hopper. That's the mom that's always looking for the studio that's going to give their kids the big win. So you go to dance competitions and you compete against this studio or that studio and you see them constantly winning. So you decide, well, this isn't working here. My child's not winning, or they're not given the solo parts and routines that I want them to do. So I'm going to switch them and go over here. Now, I've heard horror stories of moms that have done this and have hopped like 5 or 6 different studios in a child's dance career. That is insane. Now, if you're a mom that takes your kids to several studios for the training aspect, that's one thing. But if you're doing it all about that win, thinking that that studio is going to generate you more wins, you might want to reevaluate and think, why isn't my kid winning? If I've already been to several studios and they're still not winning, it might not be the studio, it might not be the dance teacher, it might really just be your kid's not good enough to win. So, and again, maybe your kid is not a winning person on the desire to win. Not that they're not a winning person in general, but maybe they just don't have that drive, or maybe solos freak them out. And it's not always that important for them to be first place all the time. So really evaluate that. Again, you don't want to have the reputation as being that studio hopping mom. It is usually a very small community in the dance world. And if you cause drama from studio to studio because of your hopping, you might not want to put that reflection on your kid either, because lots of studios, unfortunately, we do talk to each other and we do know who are hopper moms. And those kids tend to always kind of get put in the corner of don't want to mess with them because they're kind of got the crazy dance mom that likes to hop around when things don't go her way. So that's my number four tip. Really evaluate, is winning the most important thing, or getting your kid good quality dance education the most important thing? So that's number four. Now, before I go on to my third list, I would love to hear from you guys. What are some of the like most horrific momster stories that you can tell me? I have seen quite a few that just about freaked me out. Now, there's those competition moms that just come out of nowhere. I don't know where they come from at competition time, but some moms that are normally so super sweet and so supportive just go AWOL when it's competition time, and they tend to go crazy in the dressing rooms. I've heard stories of moms hiding costumes. I've heard stories of people throwing pop on costumes. I've heard stories of people actually hiding costumes in trash bins. I've heard of people like cutting costumes. It is insane what goes on in those dance rooms at competition time. So I would love to hear your stories. You can leave them to me on my social media. I will put that in description and connect with you. It'd be great to hear what you had to say. And I'd love to add some more horror stories to this crazy world of the dance momsters. All right, we're going to be right back after this, and we'll get into my next top tips on how you can avoid being a momster at your dance studio. To see more of what's going on behind the scenes at a dance competition, well, then look no further. Right there on YouTube, you can find us on Dance Spot Family Vlogs. That YouTube channel has nothing but great behind the scenes events of what it's really like being at a dance competition with our studio. So come check us out. Go to YouTube, click on Dance Spot Family Vlogs. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, and don't forget to hit that bell notification so that every time we upload a video, you will get notified and get to see all the fun action first. All right, hope to see you there. All right, welcome back to How to Avoid Being a Dance Momster. Today on Dance Chat with Coach Mickey, I'm giving you my five top tips on how you can avoid becoming the crazy dance mom of your studio. So now we heard number five, pay to play, and number four, whining or winning isn't everything. Not whining, that is one thing you don't want to do either, but winning isn't everything. Now, number three on my tip list, no show, no go here. All right, so practice makes perfect if you go to practice. That's a big one that we've had a lot of trouble with before, especially and unfortunately with kids who are about ready to graduate high school or are super involved in lots of sports and activities outside of their dance studio. They are the biggest no-shows. Interesting fact, we just recently, I saw on the Dance Teacher Network that's on Facebook page. It's a private Facebook group page for dance teachers and studio owners to get together and talk about it. And every semester towards the end of the season, we always share our frustrations about how things are running before our big recital. And the biggest complaint that most studios have across the board is people not coming to practices. And then parents being upset as to why little Susie cannot seem to remember her routines for the great recital that grandma and grandpa are going to be paying to come and see them dance in. Well, that's because you don't bring them to practice. They're not going to perform well. So it's like with anything that you do, education in schools. If you don't study, you're not going to pass a test. The same goes with your dance team. If you don't go to your dance practices, then you're not going to know the moves to the routines. It is a lot more difficult than what most parents realize. We don't just stand there and teach them some movements with their arms and feet. They actually have to understand the choreography, the story that's being portrayed in the routines, and even their formations and how to get on and off the floor and things like that. So it is a lot that's involved in these performances. And if you want your kid to be a superstar, then bring them to practice. That is a big, big thing. And for you girls that are in the multiple activities, you can't get upset because you're not in front row center. You have to take it with a grain of salt and realize, well, if I'm not at practice, I can't get a featured spot because I'm not there to be featured or lifted or whatever it is that you're jealous about that you don't get to be a star of. So just keep that in mind. You don't go to practice, you're not going to perform well, bottom line. So please bring a lot of stress off of us during the recital time of the year and go to your practices. It's really, really important. Number two, creating an excuse bucket baby. You do not want to be the momster that creates the excuse bucket baby. We have so many kids that we have to deal with all the time. And excuses are like, they're a waste of our time. I don't care that you had a big test. I don't care that your mom yelled at you in the car. I don't care that your tights were ripped, or I don't care that you forgot your dance shoes. There are, you know, buckets and buckets of excuses, and they just don't work, especially in environments where you, for example, say you wanted your child to become a professional dancer. No casting director, no agent, nobody in the professional dance world gives two iotas about any excuses that you might pull out of your big old bucket. So get used to the fact that that is not how life works, and accept responsibility for your actions and stop making excuses for your children as to why they can't perform well, why they don't have their proper attire, why they're late, why your payments are late, why you cannot seem to get them to rehearsals, etc., etc. Stop making excuses. Own up to your responsibilities. And you, in the end, you're actually going to make a better human being by doing this. You're going to train a young child on how to be held accountable for their actions. And they will eventually let you know as a parent, hey, mom, I can't miss this practice. I don't want to use a bucket of excuses for as to why we cannot be there. So those kids are going to end up becoming really, really great people in the world because they will hold themselves accountable. So you want to make sure that you as a mom don't start creating this baby that is constantly reliant on buckets of excuses to get them out of trouble. Now, when we come right back, we are going to talk about my number one tip on how you can avoid becoming a momster. And then we're also going to be talking about something that is near and dear to my heart that I've recently experienced that I just want to share with you guys about being a studio that is not full of lies and you don't want to be a studio that puts out a lot of falsehoods and makes yourself kind of in a situation where people don't want to be supportive of you in the dance community and as holding a reputation of being a studio that fills a lot of lies. So we're going to talk about that when we come back right after this. Hey guys, what do you know? It's summer. It's officially here. That's right. I know all of you guys will be finding yourselves sitting at the ball diamonds or taking your kids to the pool or maybe even taking them on a family fun vacation. Well, what else is there for you to do? Well, we've got some fun activities going on at the Dance Spot. That's right. If you're conveniently located to our small towns of Burlingame or Alma, Kansas, you can bring the kids down. We can have lots of fun with them doing acrobatic class. We've got a tap and ballet combo class that we're starting up this summer, and it's for kids ages 3 years old all the way up to high school students. It's a lot of fun. Check us out. You can find us on our Instagram or at Facebook at The Dance Spot, or you can contact us at 785-304-9970. Talk to Coach Courtney. That's right. Come check us out for the summertime fun at The Dance Spot. Hey guys, welcome back. It's Coach Mickey, and I'm having a really good time talking with you guys today about these five tips that I have on how to avoid becoming a dance momster at your studio. I hope these tips have helped you out. I'm at number one now. We've gone through the other tips. We'll just quickly review. Number five, my tip was pay to play. Make sure that you're paying all your dues on time. You don't want to be like the poor broke child in the studio. Number four, winning isn't everything. Remember, we got to let our kids experience their pitfalls along with their wins. And you don't want to be a studio hopper and be known as one. So don't be looking for that big trophy as your number one goal at your studio. You want to be looking for your kid to have a great experience, a dance family, and a loving, supportive staff with training them for their dance future. Number three, no show, no go. You got to remember, you got to go to practice if you want to perform well. So that's just an easy, tip right there. Please take your kids to your practices. That's really important. You don't want to be the kid that never comes to practice, and you don't want your kid to have their reputation. So be the mom that makes sure that they get there on time every time. Number two, this is a big one. It kind of goes along with the other three tips that I just said. You don't want to create the excuse bucket baby. Because if you make excuses for your kid, they will think that that's okay for them to be able to get out of things that are trouble. You want your children to be able to create their own responsibility for their own actions. And by you stop using that bucket of excuses for everything for your kid to get out of trouble is going to help them become a better human being all around anyway. So, and then now we're finally at number one. Now, this is a big one, and I know a lot of you guys as dance moms might be a little apprehensive to this because our natural instinct as mothers is to protect our children. But you've got to remember, it's not the coach versus the mama bear. You are paying for a service for a dance teacher or a dance studio to train up your child in their dance knowledge and their experiences to give them a better future in the dance industry. So you need to remember who is in charge. If you try to overcorrect that dance teacher, or this actually happened to us before, we actually had a dance mom who would change the child's choreography on stage to where that child never trusted us as choreographers or coaches. And it made it very difficult for that child to stay in our studio. That child is no longer with us, fortunately, because that was just way too difficult for us to deal with. But, you know, like I said, it's really important. You also, as a mom, though, And this is where I come into play as a mother. You also want to make sure you have your principles set up so that you are aware, number one, that environment that your child is in is a safe environment, that they're learning in something that is going to be a positive experience for them, not a stressful one. So if you're at a highly competitive studio and say there's like 50, 60 kids in that group, sometimes your kids are not going to succeed as well in an environment where the pressure is constantly on about who's winning, who's getting the featured parts and routines, who's the one is the teacher always constantly turning to for, you know, advice or looking to as being the one that's going to pull off the best technique. Those are the studios that for some kids, they fail at really miserably. They have a terrible time. They have a lot of trauma and stressors that are added onto them. And those are not the best environments for students like that. Now, some kids who are thrivers on wanting to be the best and they thrive on something like that, they're going to blossom at a studio like that. So you always got to make sure as a mom that you're finding the right fit for your dancer. So when you're starting out your dance career, don't just throw them into competition without really investigating these studios. Find out what it is that they are all about. What is their philosophy? Pay attention to the kids who are constantly featured on their social medias and in their dance routines, at recitals. Who gets the biggest recognition? Is it someone who is constantly the same persons or same person? That will help you understand if that is a studio that engages in favoritism, and that might not be the best studio for you as well. Now, is that student a very humble student and a very they are very appreciative of what their teachers had done for them? Then that's just a student who succeeds. That's not necessarily a favored child. So take that in consideration. Also, make sure that when it is you versus that coach, that you make communication be the key. If you ever feel that your child is not giving a fair shot, you have to have open lines of communication. Do not talk to the dance moms in the lobby. They're not going to give you the information that you're seeking to help out your child. You have to ask that teacher yourself. And if you do not feel like you've gotten your answers, you know, given that right proper answer, then you have to go to the studio owner. And if that is also a blocking for you and you don't feel like you have achieved what you wanted and getting the answers that you needed to help your child, then you clearly need to start shopping around for a studio that has great communication skills. So that is my top five tips. I hope those helped you. And I'm hoping that we can do more of these top tips. So please follow me on my social media. You can find us on Instagram at Dance Spot Family. You can find me on YouTube, Dance Spot Family Vlogs. And then you can also find me on Facebook at The Dance Spot. So find us there. Tell us that you listen to our podcasts and that you want to hear more of these helpful tips that can help out moms or other dance teachers. Now, here is my tip for my dance teachers this week and studio owners. On the same coin that we're talking about, you do not want to become the dance studio crazy owner. So here's some tips for you. Number one, make sure that you have great integrity. You want to make sure that your studio upholds itself to the same principles that you're requiring of your dance moms. For example, number five, pay to play. Make sure you pay your bills as the dance studio owner. You don't want to be the one who's constantly risking on having the lights being turned off at dance practice. Number four, you want to remember that winning is not everything. I know it's important to you. You think that that's what's going to bring you in your clients, but it is not always important. And you want to hold up that integrity. If you're going to a really small studio competition and you lose, be humble about it. Don't be the one that's like making a bigger deal out of something that it really isn't. If there was only four other studios there, or you were 1, 2, 3 in the bracket and nobody else is in that bracket, then you want to hold yourself accountable for that. Number three.
Is that my book?
I'm in the middle of my podcast here and you just interrupted it.
Are you live?
No, I'm on my podcast though.
Yeah, but you're book. That's important.
Oh my gosh. It has a piece of paper. I'm sitting here with my daughter, Courtney,
yeah,
who is the studio owner. And
recent double diamond winner.
So yes, Ivan, don't interrupt your mama when she's doing a podcast. How about that? I'm going to make dinner. Can I finish my pods? I'm already 8 minutes in. I'm almost done. I'm trying to wrap this up. I'm finishing up integrity for studio owners.
Oh, I'll teach you integrity.
And number three is no show. If you're requiring your students to be there at practice, make sure you're at practice. Yes. And number two, the other one was don't make excuses for your studio. If you make, if you're making mistakes, if you fail as a studio owner, don't make excuses for yourself because that's just teaching your children that they can do the same. And number one, remember as a coach, they all also are mamas giving authority to you to take care of their children. So keep that in mind when you're being a coach. Those are their precious babies, and you need to be very mindful of everything that you say and do does shape and influence how these kids will be in the real world. So those are my tips to you. Now, the biggest tip I have for you, this actually happened to me, is as a studio owner, you also want to make sure that you are not a liar. So most recently, I have been doing some podcasts and some YouTube videos with other studios trying to talk to them about different kinds of things that they do for their studio that makes them stand out and be unique. And this one studio that I was interested in working with had been lying about a certification that they had been given. Now, I was contacted by the certification company and was told that they were falsifying and lying about it, posting up stuff on their website, and actually were in copyright law infringement with them. And I had to be really concerned about my interaction with these people. Now, that disheartened me tremendously because I really like these people and I think they're a great person. But I think what they were trying to do is think that that would give them that gloat or that extra whatever they needed to bring in clients. And let me just remind you, you don't have to have some big fancy certification or some big fancy little poo de pa thing on your front door for you to bring in clients. Your production of how you treat your students in your classroom, how well you treat your parents, how you hold your families accountable, and how well you do at competitions is what is most important as a studio owner. Yes, going and getting certifications, going to classes over the summer as a teacher never hurts. It always helps your studio. But lying about things that you really did not do, not so much. You want to make sure you're holding yourself accountable because that just puts a bad taste in everybody's mouth if you get caught lying about something like that. So anyway, just keep that on your mindset as you are looking for studios and as you are thinking about opening up a studio yourself. You want to hold yourself accountable. You want to be held to the best integrity. And you don't want to become a studio momster, just like you don't want to have studio momsters in your studio. So, all right, I hope today's podcast helped you out. And I will be talking to you guys next week, right here, same time, same place, Tuesdays at 10 a.m. right here on our podcast, Dance Chat with Coach Mickey. See you guys next week. Peace out. Bye.